What a beautiful fall morning. Let's keep this weather going for a little while. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. And would you call the roll, please, Trish?
Trustee Hill.
Present.
Trustee James.
Present.
And Trustee Samuels.
Present and observing.
Present and observing. So I just, I guess, first verify that the meeting notice was posted as required?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, I will, am happy to observe that while this morning we start with a quorum of both members of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee, that very shortly we have the prospect of expanding our committees because the board is now graced with a full complement of members, which we have not had for,
yes,
I don't know how many years since Felicia left. It's probably 6 or 7 years, I bet. Anyway, so Trustee Samuels has joined us today, and I certainly encourage her questions. And I guess we can just get started then. I actually don't have the previous minutes. Were they done?
Yeah, they're in front of.
Okay. You know what, I have not had an opportunity to review them, and I suspect, since we just got them, that nobody has. So I would like to defer that until our next meeting and to give everybody a chance to review them. And I think I need a new agenda. We have no action items for this meeting in any event, right? Okay. So we will start with our information items, and the first is the Academic and Student Affairs update by Dr. Westbrooks. Dr. Westbrooks is our provost.
Welcome again. Okay. First of all, the board report typically from the Academic and Student Affairs side is rather lengthy. I will give you the abbreviated version, and also typically board members are always interested in how we are succeeding relative to the pharmacy program and retention, recruitment, and graduation. So I'm going to highlight those areas in particular. I'd like to first start with the College of Pharmacy. This semester, our pharmacy students are admitted in cohorts. Those cohorts begin each fall term. As indicated on page 6 of your booklet, we enrolled 93 students for the fall cohort. Of the 93, 3 are returning from the previous cohort. Of these, 76% are Illinois resident admits, 24% non-Illinois residents. Also, as indicated, the average GPA is 3.18. And the average GPA for those with science, 3.04. We always look at the number that are actually admitted with a bachelor's degree already. As indicated, 62%. So I'm talking about 56 of the 93 were admitted with the bachelor's. The mean PCAT score was 46. I particularly looked at this because if you look on page 7, you can see the comparative results whereby last year the mean PCAT was 65. So I will be talking with members of not only the dean but also the other administrative staff regarding that. 38% are male.
Can you give us a sense for what, do you know anything about what the average PCAT scores are for some of the other
institutions? Is anyone here from pharmacy?
Yeah. Generally, you look at a mean composite PCAT of around 70% for entering classes. Some schools is a little higher, some schools is a little lower. To address the reason why ours was a little lower this year, we actually had to offer 195 seats in order to fill the class. And so we went further down our alternate list than would typically be expected. I think
it seems a little surprising given the economy and what we're hearing about it and the interest in sort of healthcare.
There have been a tremendous number of new programs opened in the area of pharmacy.
Okay. I think that the I certainly would like to, on an ongoing basis, understand what we think the impact of this lower rate on this exam is, and if it's going to require the university to provide some additional support services and to make sure that these people are meeting the standards of the program.
Well, that's exactly what we did this past summer. For some of the students that had difficulty, and I'm not sure if it was just one course or two courses, we actually opened a special section whereby we could they could retake some classes, not take the entire class, but basically work on those areas where there were some weaknesses. So I think that we are trying to respond, because I don't want to jump ahead of my report, but if you would look on page 7, the retention rate for those students that started fall of last year and have come back, it's at 98.9. But again, the PCAT mean score was much higher. It was at 65. So then, with that in mind, we will be closely monitoring, now that we've accepted a much lower PCAT score, what impact it will have on this cohort, and what percentage of the current 90 will be returning. And I think we've lost one, if I'm not mistaken, already. But that was due, and I share with you offline what that reason was, Trustee Hill. Mm-hmm. If you look at, in terms of gender, 38 of the 90 are men, are male, and 52 are female. When you look at ethnicity, 2 international, 37 Asian, African American, there were 27. Compared to last year, we had 18. So that number is up, and we're very pleased about that. The Hispanic or Latino students, there are 5, which is a comparative of 35% compared to last year, 28%. Native American, we have 1 student, 18 white, 2 that did not indicate, and 1 other. So as I indicated, we're very pleased about the retention rate of our students, and we want to make certain that we continue those successes. Relative to retention as a whole, I've just given you a snapshot of just the pharmacy college. As many of you know, we have been steadfast in our efforts to respond to the retention, not only recruitment, but recruitment, retention, and graduation rates. We have a focus visit with the Higher Learning Commission sometime in March. We're still waiting for confirmation on the exact date. With that in mind, as we prepare for that focus visit, we want to make certain that we can demonstrate from the time that report was submitted, which was in June of 2009, that when the team arrives, indeed, it will see that we have made some progress. What was put in place, we've always had academic warnings, but for the first time, and I shared with Dr. Watson this morning, I was just so elated to see the overwhelming support of the university campus. And although it's not reflected in my notes or my report, last night I had a chance to actually examine the data. And I'm pleased to indicate, out of the 589 first-time full-time freshmen, we've only had 2 to withdraw. And I calculated that, and I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's 0.003%, so less than 1% of the students. But even those 2, you know, phone calls are being made to find out why did those students withdraw. And as, again, when, and all the kudos go to the faculty, because the faculty and the staff as well, they did the follow-up calls, but it was the faculty who had to input the codes. And when I say the codes, the faculty would get a class roster electronically for every class that he or she may be teaching. And then they would have to enter whether or not the student was making satisfactory progress, limited progress, no progress, whether or not they were coming to classes, whether they had missed assignments, whether they had done poorly on tests and quizzes. So with all of that information, we were able to then do the follow-up phone calls to those students who indeed had that had been noted as having some difficulty. And what we found was many of the students, for example, they may have needed maybe just a textbook. So what was done, because each item that was placed on the table in terms of need, we grouped those needs. The needs, extended from things such as needing a textbook, maybe needing a bus pass, maybe needing a tutor. And we've addressed all of them. We've hired tutors. I'm not sure about the number of bus passes that were given out of the Office of Foundations. And the books, we can't use appropriated dollars to purchase books, but we can make them available on reserve. So students have been able to take advantage of going to the library, and that was another initiative. The library hours were extended to 12 midnight, which allowed the not only the daytime students, but also our evening students, when they would complete their classes at 9 o'clock, they would be able to go over to the library and continue their studies. So it's through initiatives like that that have really been very, very successful. And I think that the thing that has really been advantageous is the just the collaboration or the cooperation of the faculty, because we're tracking the progress of students every 4 weeks. So we did it for the first 4 weeks because we wanted to know how many students are we, and we need this type of close monitoring to determine, let's try to provide them with some help before they drop out. And I think with this close scrutiny, that it has really paid off. And the true test will be after final exams. So the next 4 weeks will be the week of the, I think that's the 15th, next week. The faculty will have an entire week to input codes again. And something that was added, students can go online to review what those codes are, so they can then, what that does is, you know, frequently, sometimes, you know, we have to help our students be advocates for themselves. And so, my office has received a number of calls from from students indicating that they're really pleased that they can go online and see how they're doing. So I think it works it's moving in a positive direction on both fronts, not only with the retention, but also I think the attitudes of the students have been very positive, because they now have a sense, especially at the midterm point, you know, well, how am I doing? And again, some may not take the time to visit with faculty, ask the question. This way, they don't have to ask, it's right there. So we're really pleased about that. Something else that we're doing, this will be the third year, I think the third year where we've actually piloted intercession. I think we have about 25 or 26 courses that we will be offering. Intercession will begin, usually it's around December 16th through January 15th. Okay, and during that time, some of the courses are hybrid courses, and that means it's a combination of both being online and face-to-face. But we see this as another opportunity whereby if a student needs to have a course that's not offered in the spring catalog, this is another opportunity where we can offer it during intercession to keep the students on task, keep them on target, because if it kills us, we plan to be able to demonstrate that our graduation rate has increased come May. Well, at the end of June, because that's when the information is submitted. As you know, we have an advisory task force comprised of faculty, students, administrators, and Trustee Hill. Homework assignments are given, and we take great pride in doing what we need to do, because there should be no question about the status of accreditation here at Chicago State, because contrary to what was not only in the paper, but something that was even in one of the articles yesterday, there's no question about our accreditation. We are fully accredited, and we have a focus visit, and focus visits are not uncommon. We will be meeting Friday, the task force. We meet every Friday from 12 to 2 o'clock, every Friday. This Friday's meeting, we will be joined by our consultant. Her name is Dr. Sherilyn Poole. She has served on approximately 15 Higher Learning Commission, not only focus visits, but she's also served as a team leader. We believe she will be very instrumental in working with us as we move forward. So she'll be meeting with us on Friday to more or less give us an update. We establish a portal whereby all of our documents have been downloaded, and we will get our first assessment or our first evaluation from Dr. Poole on Friday as to is it ready to roll out to the university community, because we know that that is the critical part. The entire university community needs to be aware of what we're doing relative to accreditation, because every employee plays a part in whether or not students are retained and graduated at this institution. Currently, members of the task force, one of the homework assignments, we've been charged with designated groups on campus. For example, I have the police department, and I have all the facilities, and I have to meet with all of those members or all of those employees. And we have a teaching tool that we are using to help educate or re-educate many members of the university community. So all offices will be hit. All offices will be touched. And our student representative, she's meeting with members of student government for the training, as well as others. Lastly.
On that topic, my assignment is to brief the board on the training. And I would like to have that, just a few minutes to go over that in our December 1st orientation.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you, Trustee Hill. Also, because I don't want to forget about this, and I'm not sure if Dr. Williams was going to mention it, but Chicago State University is going to co-host a teen violence town meeting scheduled for November 20th, which is a Friday. It will be over in the Jacoby Dickinson Center, and it will begin with a reception from 6 to 7. And we will have a panel of about 15 dignitaries, including judges, faculty, yes, and others. So we're really excited about that, bringing the community together. If you have any questions, of course, I'll entertain those. So for fall 2009, we have 589 first-time, full-time freshmen. Fall 2009, for new transfers, we have 567. And I don't know what's happening with our transfers, but it's slightly down from last year. We had 584. But we will have to closely monitor that. But I think with some of the meetings that we continue to have scheduled, meeting with various members of the community colleges. As a matter of fact, yesterday, the College of Education hosted a transfer meeting, and many of the community college vice chancellor was there, and other members. I think through those close collaborations, and they're really interested in establishing those 2+2 agreements, and I think that that will really help us tremendously. So in a nutshell, our total enrollment is up 6% from last fall. Currently we have 7,000, this is according to the census data, when the data is frozen. We have this semester, or this fall, 7,235 students compared to last year, same time, 6,820. So although I saw it in the paper yesterday that we still had 6,800 students, I wanted to call in, but I decided not to. So that is our official enrollment number, 7,235. Specifically, we had 415 new students to enroll, which we're really excited about. And we know that 90 of them are from the College of Pharmacy, but the rest were across all categories with the exception of new transfers. So, you know, again, we're very pleased about that. Regarding retention, and I don't have the exact numbers, but what I can say that the retention rate is up for, because we look at cohorts, and when we talk about cohorts, we talk about those that enter in fall, and then we compare how many of them come back and matriculate again in classes the following fall. So retention is really based on one academic year. But what we're doing that's different, we're adding another step. We're looking at retention from semester to semester, because that way we can keep our hand on the pulse and identify if there are problems, what type of problems, and then address those problems. The other thing I wanted to mention is we're having our grand opening for our Center for Teaching and Research Excellence, which is Thursday, November 12th. It will be here in the library from 2:30 to 4:30. We really believe that, I know we started off with a kickoff with a new faculty. We had a new faculty orientation because we know that it is really critical to make certain that faculty get off to a good start. Well, yes, we want our students to get off to a good start, but when faculty hit this campus for the first time by contract, it's not until August 15th. So literally they have less than 2 weeks to really get prepared in terms of their syllabi, in terms of already they're thinking about retention. They want to keep their jobs, but what do they have to do? So we want to make certain that we arm them with all of the resources in a single place whereby they can get the assistance that they may need. So currently one of the major initiatives that's going on now, and I don't know all the technical terms, but I know that we're moving from Blackboard to Moodle. I don't know what that Moodle is, but I know that there's a lot of training going on, and a lot of it is occurring through the center. But I do know that Moodle is supposed to be more cost-effective than Blackboard. So I know that for a fact. So if there are any questions that you may have, I only had a couple of notes to talk about the student side. But if there are any questions about the academic side, I'll address those.
Any questions, Trustee James?
No. Okay.
Trustee Samuels? I think you'd like to ask about.
Okay, thanks. On the student side, I just wanted a couple of things. One, it should be noted that our student health insurance is currently preparing to undergo the process of requesting proposals to go out for bid. And we really need to carefully look at that process. So that should be going out as early as next week. It is anticipated that we will be able to post our request for proposals the end of either in December or the 1st of January. But we know that there have been a number of board meetings where questions have come up regarding the student health insurance.
And I assume that the students have a role or have some representatives.
As a matter of fact, there is a committee comprised of the student is called the Student Health Insurance Bid Process Committee, and it is comprised of students and staff.
Student health insurance. I was asked to be on it, but I got it.
I know you have a ton of.
But I did want to receive some sort of minutes or weekly summary of what's going on in the meetings, as well as you know, what companies are being bid out and how they came about to be selected.
Okay. Is anyone here from Student Affairs?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. it was noted, I think, Trustee James, we met, I think it was two Sundays ago. Was it one Sunday ago?
Yeah.
You know, I get all my days confused. They're all sliding into each other.
It was the day before the flu.
Especially when it's on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But a question came up about how many rooms were offline, and I did get that information. There are six. But the rooms are offline because, and Dr. Watson is aware of this, the six rooms over in the dorm that are offline because of roofing problems, the water damage. So it's not only the water damage, but also it's been brought to my attention that there continues to be some plumbing issues. So until the roof has been addressed, and I believe that there's going to be a patch soon, and the plumbing, they will remain offline. But we know if we can get those rooms back online, that would be potentially, if there were 12 students, if these were all double rooms, that's revenue that the university could be making. Lastly, we had our first all-campus assembly for freshmen only. The assembly was spearheaded by the interim dean of the freshman experience, Dr. Cheryl Green. In attendance, we had more than 100 freshmen. It was really a very excellent assembly. The types of questions that the students asked, the type of needs that students expressed. Everyone took copious notes, and Dr. Green is responding to the many requests that were made because it is about, for the first time full-time freshmen, good morning, the first time full-time freshmen, doing everything that we can to make certain that they remain enrolled and graduated, because we know that that's what we're getting our grade on our report card for from the Department of Education. If there are any additional questions.
Trustee James, do you have any questions? Okay. No? Okay. Thank you very much for your report. It's very heartening to hear about the first increase in enrollment in some number of years. I wouldn't hazard a guess, but it's probably been 7 or 8, I would imagine. And I think that the measures that are being put in place to really address this are just make great sense. And hopefully when we get our next report card, it will be more in evidence than it can be at this point.
We're waiting for fall. Thank you again.
Yeah. Are we going to address the student activities fees this session or the
We tabled those until December.
Okay.
The students made several recommendations to administration about how we could possibly decrease the number of expenditures. We are looking at those seriously. We will wait until the December board member meeting to disclose.
The fees I was referring to were the list of student activities fees that John did. That's what I was referring to.
Okay.
Is John here? And you may want to cover it in finance or academics.
Finance.
I didn't know which
one. Usually it's finance.
Finance, so we'll just do it there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Westbrooks. Dr. Williams.
Yes.
Do you have a legislative update for us?
Yeah, I'll just make a brief report. At the September 23rd meeting, as I shared, there was a cut in the MAP money of $225 million that was done in July in the budget. So higher education launched a advocacy effort by students, faculty, and administrators throughout the state of Illinois, among the universities, to restore the money. And we were able to garner about 10,000 petitions throughout the state. And Chicago State University students did about 1,500 petitions. We emailed, we Facebook, we Twittered legislators as well as the governor. And during the veto session, October 15th, we were able to convince the legislature to restore the money, and the legislature gave the governor the authorization to restore the money, but still there is some question as to where the funding will actually come from, but we're positive about that money being restored. So I want to say thanks to our students who went down to Springfield with us. We took a busload of students, and they personally had the opportunity to interact with the governor. LaVon James went with us. We had some administrators and faculty. So again, thank you. And my other hat, temporarily, I'm overseeing university relations. And we are in the process of, in order to better market the university, putting more ads, putting ads like on CTA, the billboards, and also we're doing more print ads to kind of market the university. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Watson for the $500,000 that he has allocated to address the issue of more marketing for the university. So that those are some of the things that we're doing, and I think we're moving forward, and we're in the process of finalizing the finalists for the search for the university relations position. So probably by December, you will see a new face for that position. And thank you.
All right, any, do you want to comment on the MAP fund experience?
Well, yeah, it was actually a very good experience. It definitely, personally, left an impact on me. I haven't been to the Capitol since I was about 10 years old on a fourth grade or fifth grade field trip. So it was an excellent experience. I think that all of the students who were there left feeling very enriched. It was great to see CSU among, treated as equals among all the other students and universities that were there. And it was an excellent show of government in action.
And then also we want to thank the Legislative Black Caucus. We had the opportunity to schedule a meeting with Dr. Watson to meet with the caucus, and he was able to talk to him about the importance of the MAP award for Chicago State. So had we not gotten the money, that would have meant that 3,000 of our students would not have been able to get the MAP award at about $3.6 million. And the MAP money is mainly used to finance the education for low-income students. So it would be devastating for Chicago State if we lose that money. And we want to remain vigilant. And those of us who have the, you know, the governor's ear, we want to encourage everyone to continue to talk to the governor and in the General Assembly about keeping that money in the budget for Chicago State and for higher education.
I think it's a wonderful example of the community coming together over an issue that is just incredibly important to our students. So I really want to commend that effort from everybody's point of view. Okay, anything else? Any questions? Thank you for your report. The last item on our agenda are public and employee comments. Do we have any comments this morning? I guess not. In which case, we always welcome comments. We're glad to see people here and participating in what we're doing. So with the, in that case, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
Like to move that we adjourn?
Sure, I'll move that we adjourn.
Okay.
Meeting at
8:30.
I'll second.
Trustee James.
How?
Trustee Hill.
Yes. Okay, we are adjourned, and I think that the.
I'm sorry, Trustee Samuels, as well as Trustee Scott.
So we are adjourned, and I think that the Finance Committee is going to begin.